Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Lynn, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today. We're excited to bring you another in our series of interviews with top leaders in healthcare IT. And our guest today is Casey Pittock. He's CEO of Smart Meter. Welcome, Casey.
Thank you, John. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself and Smart Meter.
Sure. Happy to. So I've been fortunate to be in the connected health industry for over 20 years in medication reminder services and the medical alert space, predictive analytics, mobile safety devices, passive monitoring, all kinds of fun stuff. And Smart Meter, which I joined in February as CEO, is a wonderful business positioned as a foundational player in the remote patient monitoring industry, which, as most of your listeners will know, is exploding and growing so rapidly that, you know, we're happy to be positioned where we are.
Well, I think it's interesting that you said 20 years. I think most people watching would think, what were we doing 20 years ago when it comes to remote, you know, remote monitoring technology? So give us a feel, like, where were we when you started and, you know, how have we come along and, you know, where are we at today?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Going back, you know, if I talk about the medical alarm space, we used to joke about having a soap on a rope, like this big, large button that people would wear around their neck when they needed help. And it would go through a plain old telephone line service, a POTS line, as we said. There's no internet, you know, or it was early days of the internet. You know, clinical monitoring was in its early days as well. There was cardiac monitoring with Holter monitors, where people would put a big device on their hip and have a chest sensor that would pick up heart rate and heart rate variability and some other good stuff. And that data would be recorded literally on a piece of paper that would spit out.
I was going to say, not very connected, right? But at least
monitored. I mean, that, you know, nothing was connected. I mean, it was all truly, you know, early days technology-wise, very simplistic, more mechanical things as opposed to digital, as we would say today. So as the world migrated from the analog world to the digital world, well, things changed rapidly. And, you know, technology has always been ahead of I'll call it the reimbursement environment. Okay. So there's all kinds of whiz bang stuff. And I live in Silicon Valley and there's all kinds of fun stuff that's built. And if I look back 20 years ago, even then, there were things available that were way ahead of their time, whether it was a passive monitoring device to track someone's behavior in the home, if you will, for truly remote monitoring. That was there, that was available, but it was expensive, didn't work particularly well, and the patient wasn't ready for it. You know, consumers, people like us, we just weren't ready for that to be, you know, truly monitored in a clinical standpoint someplace outside of the physician's office. Okay, this was uncharted territory. You know, we think about patients and consumers were used to going to a physician's office or to a hospital or to an outpatient clinic, and they would be hooked up to devices and they would have some kind of monitoring done for their heart rate, their respiration, and so on. And then the physicians would take action based on that and offer various prescriptions and so on. Well, that was the norm. And when the new tools came about and all these things that were developed by companies large and small to take this physiological monitoring and do it anywhere, anytime, that was pretty cool. The stars were not aligned, however. There was a big gap in the reimbursement environment to encourage the physicians in particular to get involved, because they didn't get paid if it was monitored remotely as opposed to being to take a physiological reading right here in my office.
I think you're right. The reimbursement really is one of the biggest problems. Are we there today with reimbursement? Like, is the reimbursement there? Because I think that, you know, you highlighted two things, you know, the patient, do they want it? And then two, once the patient wants it, you know, who's going to pay for it? Are we there on the payment side?
So what we see at Smart Meter, and we sell through a distribution channel of about 200, more than 200 leading remote patient monitoring and chronic care management platform companies and service providers. So, you know, they're selling to the physician practices and large healthcare systems. So we get a lot of feedback all across the country from a variety of different types of partners. So we're in a unique position to really hear what's really going on in the reimbursement world through this channel that we've developed. And what we hear is that it's real and it's going well, and physicians are getting paid. You know, they're submitting claims to Medicare in particular with the new CPT codes that came out in 2019 and that really became prominent in the COVID era, okay?
Yeah.
So much activity started taking place with remote patient monitoring due to COVID. Well, the docs are getting paid, right? And so it's happening and it's real. And the partners we work with are saying they haven't seen any problems with it. And now, John, we see an evolution to where the private payers, you know, the big private insurers are also reimbursing for remote patient monitoring to support their populations, whether it's through large employer groups or through state-sponsored programs or whatever it may be, they're reimbursing as well.
So let's talk about these devices. I've certainly seen the evolution. I've gone to CES for the last 16 years. I live in Vegas, so it's easy. And, you know, when I first went there, there was nothing. I literally was looking for healthcare, and there was, you know, and maybe there was some in some corner, right? And you look at it now, or, you know, the past couple of years, you know, it's half of the Sands Expo Hall is digital health. There's 6 million or however the number is, right? Like different blood pressure, glucose scales, right? So we've seen it blown up. It seems like everyone has those kind of similar devices. So, you know, from a smart meter perspective, what kind of separates what you do with your devices from all of those other, you know, that explosion of devices?
Yeah, thank you, John. Yeah, so what we do at Smart Meter in the marketplace to really stay out of this commodity mentality that's emerged is we have enabled all of our devices with cellular.
Okay.
May sound very simplistic, but no one really was doing it. So we've embedded a cellular module in every one of our devices. It's technically a Cat-M chip, which is a special frequency through the AT&T network.
Okay.
Through the, you know, the LTE network. And with that, we can now monitor anyone, anywhere, typically in their home, but because we have a special chipset, they work well in the bathroom. So you can imagine scales are typically going to be in a bathroom. The walls are thick. There's a lot of plumbing and so on. So that cellular signal needs to go through it. So that's a key differentiator for us. We like to pick on Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and pairing and all these issues that can come up.
I call that misery is what I call that, pairing and Bluetooth. But no, I mean, I think you're right. I think the challenge when I talk to people about it, though, is cost. So, you know, have you been able to keep the cost down and still be able to do the, you know, 4G connectivity?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's another key part of this is with our supply chain we've built up over the years, we have access to wonderful pricing in terms of what our cost is. So we can keep the price in line to make it reasonable for the end user. I shouldn't say the end user, the physicians really, right? You know, if the physicians are getting reimbursed and they're then buying the services through our distribution channel, well, it has to all work. That value chain has to make sense from a cost perspective. And we've got that nailed. It's very attractive to our customers.
No, 100%. I talk to CIOs and they're like, we're not device support companies. We need it simple. It just has to work or we can't use it, right?
So I was interacting with a physician recently and he made the comment. He said, you know, I didn't go to medical school to teach my patients how to pair their Bluetooth device. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bad use of a doctor's time, I'd say. But I mean, even not just the doctor, but, you know, healthcare organizations don't have that skill either. You know, their other staff. So I think that's a nice approach.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about working with a bunch of, you know, RPM companies, remote patient monitoring companies, and I imagine others as well. You know, why would they choose to work with you over, you know, some of the other competitors in the market?
Yes, thank you. So, you know, with again, we touched on the devices. So our devices are simple. They're very high quality FDA registered devices. They work very well through the cellular network. So the quality is one reason they go with us. Okay. We have a quality management system in place across our company, which most suppliers, if you will, in the industry do not do. So RPM companies and chronic care management companies come to us because they know we have FDA quality management system. And you're going to love this one. We answer the phone. And that may sound super simple, but we do. And we hear that, you know, when people reach out to us, we're there. So we're very, very, you know, I've been this so long, 2 decades, and customer service is critical. And especially in healthcare, you know, all the devices are wonderful and the technology's amazing what it can do, but there's still this really intrinsic human element to healthcare. And we believe that at Smart Meter, and that's our culture, that we have to be there to take care of our customers, our RPM companies that sign up with us, so they can then do a better job taking care of the physicians and the patients and the healthcare systems.
Yeah. So do you have a platform of your own as well? Or how do you balance that? You know, I know there's always the question of competitive pressure, or, you know, do you just want to be the device? Do you have your own platform? How are you kind of navigating that?
So we're a holistic infrastructure company is how we think of ourselves for the remote patient monitoring industry. So we do have a platform, and it's a very good platform, and it's designed to help out if an endocrinologist practice has a large customer base and they want to go direct to us. They've been doing telehealth for years. They don't really need the support of an RPM company to come in and help teach them how to onboard patients, interact with patients, you know, take care of the billing, teach them how to do the billing of the CTP goes. You know, many physician practices know how to do this. So they don't need to go through an RPM company per se. So they'll reach out to us directly and we can take care of them. We have a very wonderfully, I'll call it relevant platform. You know, we focus on high alerts and low alerts for glucose readings, blood pressure readings, and so on. We send trend data. And that's about it. This is what the physicians want to see. So we've kept it very, very straightforward. You know, we've stayed out of the artificial intelligence and predictive analytics and all these things, which a lot of it's vaporware, frankly. Some of it's amazing. Some of it's fantastic, but a lot of it is still pretty mediocre. So, you know, we have partners that do that wonderfully. But, you know, for those customers who need to reach out directly, we're there for them. We offer a direct ship program to patients.
Okay.
So we do that for whether it's a physician practice or for our RPM partners that we work with. A lot of them sign up and say, hey, we don't want to have a warehouse full of stuff.
Yeah.
You guys do that for us. So we take care of all the fulfillment and provisioning of the devices and a lot of that legwork so that they can focus on doing what they do well.
Impressive. Well, you've been around this long enough that I'm interested to hear your thoughts, because we really have, you know, somewhat through COVID, but even prior to COVID, when the reimbursement codes first came out for some of the RPM chronic care management, just seen an explosion of these, you know, I guess you call them platforms, RPM platforms, or, you know, and devices for that matter. And, you know, we're seeing, I kid you not, probably 2 to 3 times a week, I get another $30 to $100 million investment in some RPM company, right? How do you see this market playing out? You know, are we going to see one big winner? Are we going to see 15 big winners? I mean, how do you see it? You know, is it going to be by specialty? Any thoughts on?
Yeah, on where, so let me address that from a couple angles, just again, from my historical perspective as well. The RPM industry has taken off because all the stars have aligned, as we talked about at the start of the conversation. And the platform companies that are emerging are taking advantage of the fact that there are 103 million hypertension patients. There are 30 million diabetic patients, right? These are massive, and on. We can go through all different chronic disease states. So massive issues across the healthcare system. So it's a very large addressable market to start with. So there's room for a lot of players.
Now,
to your point, John, so many are just popping out of the woodwork every day. You know, we sign up 2 or 3 new RPM partners every week, literally. I mean, there's that much activity. And I believe what's going to happen is there will be I call it a one-third, 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 because I've seen this historically. One-third are going to fail. They're just going to go away. One-third will either be acquired or consolidated into other groups, and then one-third are going to thrive. And, you know, we don't know who the winners and losers will be necessarily. I can tell you based on what we see in our customer activities, I can predict some who are going to win.
I'm not as interested in specific companies, although certainly if you're brave enough. But, you know, is there a category of company? Is it someone who's, you know, or is it going to be by a specific clinical a challenge, or is it going to be someone who addresses multiple? I mean, how do you think?
The answer is really simple. Two words, patient engagement. Now that's overused in the industry, but it's real. And so whichever platform companies or RPM companies truly understand that end patient experience and how to get a patient in the habit of testing their glucose every day or stepping on the weight scale every day, checking their blood pressure every day, you know, to get into that habit is a challenge. And to teach, you know, us, we're humans, to get us to take the, to do those behaviors so that the physician can do their job and really help take care of a patient and help them improve their health. That's there's a lot to make that work. So you have to have a device that works, that is friendly, easy to use. The data has to flow reliably with no pairing issues or no problems. The platform has to work to get the information from the device to wherever it needs to go, ultimately to the physician. The physician has to see data that makes sense to them. They then need to engage with the patient, or the company needs to engage with the patient on behalf of the physician to make sure the patient is taking the right actions. So there's a lot going on there. You know, it's very complicated in the background, but for the patient, it has to be seamless, and they have to feel like everything that's happening is working for them in their favor with really no interruption to their lives.
Yeah. That's a high bar. You're right. So, you know, I mean, talking to all these people, is there just an amazing patient story or experience you've heard from someone that's been using like a smart meter RPM solution? Is there something, you know, give me a patient perspective on this.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm not trying to dodge the question, but it's, we think about populations more than individual patients, right? Okay. So what we look at, especially on the glucose side, because we have so much history there, is the improvement in A1C, you know, which is the, you know, that's the critical measure. So across the board, whether it's low-income populations, high-income populations, rural, metropolitan-based populations. It doesn't matter. Across the board, wherever they are, our solution is taking care of them to reduce A1C. And we hear that over and over and over. And this, the anecdotal stories we hear are from the patients through our customers who say, you know what, I've tried exercise, I've tried diet, and I just can't get it right. And then we put the iGlucose smart meter in their hand and they use it. And because it's all seamless, because it goes through the cloud, they can see a reading right there on the device. It just works. The doctors are taking action based on the information they're seeing. They're saying, wow, it worked. And literally within 2-3 weeks, they'll see a transformation in their readings. So yeah, it's, I wish I just had one like really fun, interesting story I could tell, but it's more of a blend across the populations. It's been very positive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen if you can manage your A1C, it solves a lot of problems for people. So
it does. That's fair. You know, I'll add on, I mean, John, let me just add on one more kind of anecdote that's really important for the conversation. And that's in long-term care, in skilled nursing facilities. Again, to you asked about COVID a couple of times. So we got involved in the long-term care market, almost a year ago in a trial with 5 locations. And we have since commercialized it based on the outcomes of that pilot. And what we found is that the diabetes management programs, long-term care, have been adequate, but not great. There have been some problems. So when we go in with a single iGlucose meter per patient in the facility, the staff, the nurses, and I have witnessed this, this is kind of a fun story. So I've seen where staff in the old days, we'll go in with a glucose meter that is not connected. Okay. They're just manual meters. They'll take the reading. They'll write it on their hand. Okay, literally. They have no other way to do it. They're busy, right? So they'll write it on their hand or on a sticky note. They then walk to their electronic health record to input it. Okay. And then they go on to the next one. Well, guess what? A lot of points of failure in what should be a very simple process. They get called into another room before they get to point click care. They wash their hands before they see the next patient. That reading's gone off their hand, okay? Just the fact that they have to go to the EHR periodically takes time, right?
Yep.
So we've got initial data around the time study. It looks like it's 2.5-3 minutes per patient per reading that we're saving with our glucose meter sending the information directly into the electronic health record. And there's no points of failure, right?
Makes sense.
So we've seen tremendous improvement in the diabetic care and long-term care. And the nurses love it. Yeah,
that's a great use.
Yeah.
So where do you see RPM technology headed next? And, you know, is it more of the, you know, leveraging the devices we have? Or are we going to have new devices? What do you see?
Well, what I think is going to happen in terms of evolution is the devices will become less, how to put it? They need to be more passive, if you will. They need to just be part of people's lives. Okay. So when the wearables market emerged about 10 years ago, and people of all ages started wearing the fitness trackers and so on. Well, that actually helped the medical alarm industry significantly because that helped remove the stigma that was associated with wearing a button on your neck or your wrist. Yeah, it's like, oh, you're an old person because you got to push the button. No, that's not the case. I mean, so now it sort of became cool to wear stuff, all right? I see a similar thing happening with remote patient monitoring where the devices, the technologies will add kind of a cool factor to them. They'll be more relevant and interesting data that's presented in more interesting ways to the patient. Again, this notion of patient engagement won't be so much driven by the devices as opposed to how is the data getting to the patient and how is that helping change their life? And, you know, that does then get into the predictive analytics and the artificial intelligence and behavioral change that can be done through automation that's pretty interesting. Now the devices are gonna play a role in that to, when you touch a keyboard on your phone or your computer and you get a little response, like a little tactile response.
Yep.
Think about that in terms of, okay, I just took a blood pressure reading and I get a little like, hey, good job. Don't know what that is, but like, hey, great. You know, like a reinforcement, that's a good thing that you just did. So little that's things like that will come over time. And, you know, to give you a taste of that, we have a product coming out very soon that will address this in a very fun, clever way. And I can't reveal what it is just yet, unfortunately.
Casey, but, come on. You could just let it. It's just a few people, just amongst
friends. But there's great stuff coming that will make that experience more engaging for the patient, more seamless. So that's where I think it's heading. In general. Yeah.
I like it. Well, Casey, this has been an enlightening discussion. You have a really interesting perspective and I love the work that Smart Meter is doing. And we're definitely going to have to catch up again. And thanks everyone for watching. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com. Thanks, Casey.
Thank you, John.